Well, hello, City First fam. We are so glad that each and every one of you are with us today. You are in the right place. And I hope that you've been enjoying this At the Movie series. God has moved through it in a significant way. And it's crazy to think that this is the last Sunday of our At the Movie series, the last Sunday of September, which means that Christmas is only 87 days away. There's nothing more divisive, not even politics, than talking about when is the appropriate time to start celebrating Christmas. I posted this on my social media this week. Go ahead and put that Christmas tree up. Nothing makes sense anymore. Anyways, someone sent that to me. I reposted it. My friend DM'd me and he was like, no, okay, we got 3 more months until Christmas. Let baby Jesus cook. It is too early for Christmas. But we are looking forward to all that is ahead, right? Between now and Christmas, we've got some really important things coming up here at City First. And I want to invite everybody to come back next Sunday because we're going to be kicking off, Pastor Jeremy's launching a brand new series called We the Kingdom. And this series is going to be really important because we're going to be talking about how to navigate our current events as a nation and what our response is as Christ's followers. So make sure you come back next week and every week in October because it's going to be really important and really helpful. But in this series, At the Movies, we've learned that movies are not really our topic. They're just the beginning of the conversation. That Jesus revealed life's truths through stories, through parables, through metaphors. And we love this series because it's fun and church should be fun. In Psalm 122, it says, and they said, unto me, be glad as we go to the house of the Lord. We hope that when you come to church, you're glad. We love At the Movies because it creates a commonality to have meaningful conversation about movies. But I also want to encourage us today with something we already know, that just because movies are meant to be consumed and maybe entertain us, we're not at church today to be entertained. We are here to encounter God who has something for each and every one of us. And I hope that you showed up expectant because God wants to meet you right where you're at. And so before we dive in, I just want to pause and I want us to take a moment and just settle our hearts and say, God, we want everything that you've got for us today. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. God, we are here today because of you. We need more of you in our lives. We want more of you in our lives. So God, we just invite you and we give you permission to do what you want to do, to say what you want to say. I pray that I would get out of the way so that you can have your way. Holy Spirit, minister to every heart exactly where they're at. And in your name we pray, amen. All right, well, for today's movie, we're going with a classic, Jurassic Park from 1993. Now, if you were here last week, it was announced we're doing Twisters this week. And now we're not doing Twister. So what happened? I'm going to let you know what happened towards the end of my message. But for now, we're going to dive into Jurassic Park, where John Hammond, fancy guy in his white suit and fancy hat, enlists the help of some scientists to artificially engineer and recreate dinosaurs in order to turn his private island into a tourist attraction. And he brings some archaeologists and specialists to this island in an attempt to gain their approval prior to the park's opening. So let's go ahead and watch as they experience Jurassic Park for the very first time.
The team joins billionaire John Hammond on the field of his newly opened theme park, Jurassic Park. They are amazed to see dinosaurs walking around right in front of them. They exit the vehicle and run up to the dinosaur, overjoyed that they get to experience such an epic sight, having studied these prehistoric creatures for years. The scene continues, and the team walks into the lab where they are cloning the dinosaurs and incubating the eggs. The team walks over to the eggs at just the right time for an egg to begin to hatch. They gather around to watch the dinosaur emerge from the egg. Ian Malcolm, the mathematician with them, warns of the dangers of manipulating nature in such a way. He fears the can only end in disaster. Alan Grant holds the new dinosaur and in a moment of extreme concern realizes that they had bred velociraptors, a dangerous and unpredictable species.
Bred raptors, what could go wrong, right? Well, now this is obviously a fictional movie, but many of us movie critics still watch this and we think how unrealistic that John Hammond is trying to create and control dinosaurs. It's ridiculous. Even the supporting characters are questioning what he's trying to control because they know what we know. It's going to get out of his control. It's so much bigger than him, even dangerous. But the truth is, we all fall into the trap of trying to control things that are actually out of our control. So if you're taking notes, you can write down the title of today's message. If you're not taking notes, you can write down the title of today's message. And it's the illusion of control. Because we all got a little John Hammond in us where we want to think that we're in control, but really, it's just an illusion. And as we're talking about this topic of control, some of you got really excited because you're thinking to yourself, the person next to me really needs to hear this message. They are a bit of a control freak. But I want to encourage you, don't be thinking about who might need to hear this message. How about each and every one of us apply this message personally to our own lives? And I want you to think about the things in your life that you attempt to control. Even more specifically, what do you try to control the most? Maybe it's for you, it's your calendar. You got your digital calendar, you got a paper calendar, you got a whiteboard calendar on your wall somewhere. You got things color-coded, you got things planned out down to the millisecond. You want to know where every moment of every day is going, and it gives you a sense of control. Maybe for you, it's your finances. You want to have a certain amount invested into the stock market, into your 401k, into your savings or in your checking account, and then you'll feel safe. Maybe for you, it's other people's perception of you. You're like, don't post that photo without my permission. I got an image to maintain, right? Maybe it's even control of other people. You don't want this person to talk to that person, or you're trying to control your family or somebody in your life, or maybe for you it's your environment. If everything is just a certain way, then I'll feel like I have a sense of control. And here's the thing, the Bible makes it very plain for each and every one of us that we are to be people who plan for the future, that we should be aware of the days and make the most of them, that we should seek wisdom with everything we got, the Bible says, seek wisdom. We should be people who are wise and we steward what God has entrusted to us well. But we have to be mindful to not cross this invisible line from planning to controlling. That there's a difference between diligence and control. And what I've learned the most in my life over the years is that what you attempt to control the most often reveals where you trust God the least. Because if you really trusted God with it, sure, you might want to work with him and how you're going to plan and how you're going to steward. But if you really trusted God with it, you wouldn't be trying to control it. And God knew that this would be a struggle for us. And so the Bible speaks to it because he knew that there would be this battle of our will, our way or God's way. Even Jesus, when he was on this earth in the form of a human, wrestled with this tension. And we see it in Luke chapter 22, where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane before he goes to the cross. And it says this in 41 and 42, that Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. He knelt down and he prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus understood the magnitude of what was before him, that he was about to face the cross with the weight of the world's sin on his shoulders to bear. And he was wrestling with what he wanted versus what God wanted. It's that time where his spirit is strong, but his flesh is weak. Some of us know what that feels like, that our spirit is strong, but our flesh is weak, and we feel that tension. So Jesus says, if you can take this from me, but in the same breath, he says, but not my will, but yours be done. And he surrendered his own will to God's will. Why? Because Jesus was fully convinced that his heavenly Father knew what was best for him. And City First Church, could we have the faith to believe that our heavenly Father knows what is best for us too? That he loves us, created us, and he knows what's best for us. And in this story of the Garden of Gethsemane, if you read it in another gospel, it says that Jesus was distressed. He was troubled by what was ahead of him. It even says that he was overwhelmed. And many times in this life, we might feel overwhelmed with the tension that we feel between spirit and flesh, between our will or God's will. And when Jesus was overwhelmed, he was wrestling between surrender and control. And many times as we're going through life, things can feel overwhelming. Maybe pressures at work, family situations that are complicated. You're walking through a health diagnosis. Maybe there's tension in your marriage, just decisions that you need to make that feel overwhelming. But as we navigate this terrain, are we gonna go in the footsteps of Jesus and choose surrender or lean into control? But maybe you're wondering, I do wanna surrender, but what does surrender actually mean? What does that look like for me today in 2024? And in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it speaks to this. I love this verse. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit or surrender to him, and he will make your path straight. So we see that trust and surrender or submitting to God go hand in hand in this verse. So what does it mean to surrender? It means to place our trust in God. That every day we would say, God, I acknowledge you. I recognize you. I'm desperate for you. I want what you want for my life. I want what you want for this day. We rely on him and not on our own understanding. But what does it mean to function in control? That means that instead of placing our trust in God, we choose to place trust in ourselves. That we just go through the days going, you know what? I'm gonna do what I wanna do. I'm gonna do what I feel like doing. I'm gonna do whatever seems good to me. What could possibly go wrong, right? And we operate in this place of trust in self, and that's when we find all of this grasping, manipulating, comparing, trying to rely on self and tap into our own limited resources. And then we wonder, why are we so exhausted? Why are we so worn out? Because we were never created to operate relying on ourselves. We were created to rely on God. And the amazing thing is when we choose trust in God, God gives us promises that he's gonna make our path straight, which is a beautiful promise. I love this same verse, Proverbs 3, 6, but in the Amplified Version says this, in all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him. I love this because it's not asking us to do something that we're not capable of doing. It's not asking us to know the answers to every problem. It's not asking us to know every detail about the Bible, saying, no, God, get to know him, pray, spend time with him. It's saying, just acknowledge him, recognize him. God, thank you for this day. God, thank you you're with me today. Know him, acknowledge him, recognize him. And when we do that, he promises that he will make our path straight and smooth. I love this part, removing obstacles that block your way. When we surrender, we rest in the promise and the peace that God goes before us. He's making a way for us. He's removing obstacles you didn't even know were there. That's how good he is. When you are surrendered, you're opening yourself up to everything that God has for you. Control is grasping. Surrender is opening up to say, God, whatever, whenever, God, whatever you have, I'm here for it. And I want everything that you've got for me. And we have to realize in a culture that's obsessed with control, obsessed with self-reliance, that God can do more with your surrender than he can with your control. When we surrender, we give God the opportunity for him to be God and for us to not be and know our role of relying on him. But what does that mean? I'm gonna surrender, I'm gonna trust in God. So if God's got it, I'm just gonna watch Netflix all day because he's in control. No, when we surrender, we're choosing, we're gonna put our trust in God, but that also means trusting that God has a part to play and we have a part to play. Like if you need a job, you're not just gonna pray about it and then trust God with it. No, you're gonna fill out your applications. You're gonna show up to that interview with your shirt ironed, ready to put your best foot forward. But then you're gonna trust that God is opening doors that you couldn't open, that he's preparing a position for you that's better than what you could position for yourself. If you got tension in your marriage, you're not just gonna ignore about it. You're not just gonna ignore it or gossip about it. No, you're gonna do what you can do. You're gonna pray about it, but then you're gonna put in the work. You're gonna go to marriage counseling, join a marriage life group, have honest conversations. Why? You are gonna do what you can do. But here's the amazing thing. When you do what you can do, we trust God to do what we can't do. He prepares the way. He heals broken hearts. He restores relationships, and he goes before us removing obstacles. I remember when I was 18 years old feeling a call into ministry. That was a very foreign concept in my orbit. My parents were first-generation Christians. They barely knew how to pray or read the Bible, but they were trying to grow in their faith as they were raising me and my sisters. They believed in going like traditional university. And I was like, I feel this call to ministry. No one in my family had ever done that. No one in my family was barely even saved following Christ. And I was living in Ohio and somebody had told me about the City First Leadership College here in Rockford, Illinois. And so I came and I checked it out. And I was like, this isn't what I imagined I would be doing with my future. Yet God, not my will, but yours be done. And so I signed up. I said, okay, I'm going to come here for a couple of years. Well, 20 years later, I'm still here. And now I get the opportunity to be a pastor on staff. I was doing what I could do, but God's doing what I could never do. Aligning steps, removing obstacles. It was here in Rockford that I met my amazing husband, Adam. God was going before me, working out every details. I was just surrendering. I knew it was God's will for us to get married, except I know it's not God's will that he's a Michigan fan and I'm from Ohio. Just pray for us, y'all. But all I'm saying is when you take that step of surrender, we can trust that God is working and he's ordering our steps and he's removing obstacles, preparing a way. But sometimes when we feel so overwhelmed by life, it can be difficult to surrender or even see clearly. And there's an individual from the Old Testament Bible named David. And David found himself at a point of being overwhelmed. Now, when I say overwhelmed, I don't want you to think, oh, that means like your whole world is falling apart. You might be overwhelmed with fear. You might be overwhelmed with anxiety. You might be overwhelmed by a big decision. You might be overwhelmed in a relationship. You might be overwhelmed by a work decision. Overwhelmed can mean a lot of different things, but this is what David says when he felt overwhelmed. He was successful, yet he felt overwhelmed. You can be both. And he says this in Psalm 61, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Now that overwhelmed word in the original language in Hebrew is the word ataf, and it can mean to cover like with a garment. And I love this word picture because if we read that verse in that context, it would say this, when my heart is covered, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that gives us such an accurate definition because when we're overwhelmed, we often feel suffocated. We might not have verbiage for it, but we feel suffocated. We feel surrounded. We feel like there's something covering us, maybe pressing down on us. If you ever had an anxiety attack, it feels like you're suffocating or can't breathe. I've experienced that. And if you would think about the imagery of this verse, if there was like a really heavy garment or a cloak that was covering you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, all that you would be able to see is the very thing that's covering you. All that you would feel is the weight of what is on you. And when we're overwhelmed and we're trying to control all the things, we have a limited perspective. All that we can see is the problem that we're facing. All that we can feel is the stress that we're feeling or the uncertainty that's surrounding us. And wouldn't the enemy want it to be that way, that we're so overwhelmed that we're blinded to everything else? Blinded to the joys of life, blinded to the goodness of God, blinded to his mercy that's new every morning and his peace that's with us every evening, that we'd be blinded to the needs of others, so blinded that we can't even see the solutions that God has for us for the problems that we're facing. The enemy wants you to be so consumed with the heaviness of this world that you lose sight of the bigger picture, that God has you and he's working out the very thing that you're worried about. And that's why David cries to God, when I'm under, lift me up to the rock that's higher than I. Take what's consuming me and lift it off of me by the power and the authority of Jesus. God is our burden lifter. And some of you came in carrying heavy burdens, feeling overwhelmed, feeling at the end of your rope. If I don't and if I can't, then how can? And when we surrender, what we see with David is when he surrendered, God began to shift his perspective. That when he could only see problems, he started to see solutions. That when he could only feel heaviness, he started to feel the lightness that God can give. And the same way that David experienced that, we can too. We got to know that surrender shifts our perspective. There's power in surrender. So back to our movie, Jurassic Park. As you can imagine, things are not going well. Everything is out of control, and John Hammond is having a hard time releasing it. Let's go ahead and check out what's going on in Jurassic Park.
After facing many dangers and unpredictable situations in the park, the team is just trying to survive and escape the predators around every turn, especially the T-Rex. All of a sudden, they find themselves in a race against the monster himself. The Jeep faithfully outruns the T-Rex this time. The scene continues with a conversation between John Hammond and Ellie. He explains that when he was young, he had a flea circus, all imagination and illusion, and the reason he built Jurassic Park was to give everyone something tangible and real. Ellie responds with the fact that it is all still an illusion because of the lack of control. She explains that she was also enamored by the power of the park, but now the power and control is gone and they must do something about it.
The illusion of control. Now the main character is beginning to realize that all along he was just under the illusion of control. He learns a difficult way that he can't control everything, but he can control something. And you know, the person who gets the most out of every sermon that is prepared and spoken is the person who is the one preaching, right? And what I've been learning and what God has been just correcting in me over the years is that I am somebody who likes things to be a certain way. I like things in order. I like a plan. And the Holy Spirit keeps aligning me to God's heart and God's will and revealing that there's a difference between excellence and control, a difference between being prepared and trying to be at the point of perfection. And a few weeks back, I was just in my daily devotionals. I was reading in Galatians chapter 5, and it's about the fruit of the Spirit, and I want to read it to you. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these are byproducts of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. It's not something that we have to grasp for. It's not something that's behavior modification. It's a byproduct of spending time with God and growing in our faith with him. And Dallas Willard was an incredible theologian, brilliant person. Other theologians study his work. And he was in an interview and somebody asked him, Dallas Willard, how do you know if you are personally growing in spiritual maturity? And everybody was expecting him to give some lofty, complicated answer because he's so brilliant. He said, well, I know that I'm growing to my spiritual maturity when I get angry less. Because he's experiencing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, patience. And what's interesting as we read those fruits of the Spirit, the very last one says that the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And what that tells us is that the fruit of the Spirit is not control, it's self-control. And there's a really big difference here. In our movie, John Hammond's realizing he can only control himself. He can't control everybody else. And sometimes we can get so busy trying to control other people and other things that we miss out on the one thing that we actually should apply control to, and that is you, right? Self-control. When I'm trying to control, I'm actually out of line with God's grace for today because I'm trying to make a way. Instead of saying, God, I surrender and I receive your grace, I receive your mercy, I receive your insight, your wisdom, your understanding. And we have to know that in this life, there's a lot of things that are out of control, but there are a lot of things that are in our control. You might not be able to control what they say, but you can control what you say. You might not be able to control what they do, but you can control what you do. You can't control what they think, but you can control what you think. You can't control their attitude, but you can control your attitude. You can't control the future, but you can control if you trust Jesus with your future. You can't control the political climate, but you can control your spiritual climate. You can't control how they respond, but you can control how you respond. You have more control than you think. And we are called to operate out of a place of self-control. And the enemy wants us to be so distracted with what everyone else is doing that we miss out on what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. And today, as we're wrapping up, I just want us to remember two things from our time together. That if you're feeling overwhelmed or if you're feeling that battle of your will versus God's will, what are two things that we can do? We can choose surrender, which means trust in God, and we also can choose self-control. And you know, I was recently given the opportunity to live out this message, right? I had found myself in the state of Florida last Sunday, a week ago from today. And initially, we were supposed to be doing the movie Twisters, which is all about natural disaster. And we had planned this movie out at least 6 weeks in advance. But little did we know the timing of a movie about natural disaster landing on the weekend where natural disaster just hit in our nation. So we made the pivot to switch to Jurassic Park because to do Twisters just felt a little insensitive due to the devastation that so many people are experiencing because of the hurricane and the tropical storm. And it felt extra close to home to me because a week ago I was in Florida on Sunday night and I landed and I started to get text messages that a hurricane was projected to come to the very area that I was in on the west coast of Florida. And you know, if you talk to a Floridian about a hurricane, they're like, it's painful because it kind of feels like you're stalking a turtle. Like it takes a long time to know what's actually gonna develop. But by Monday, it was looking like this hurricane might hit where I was currently at on Thursday or Friday, and I was scheduled to be there through Friday. So on Monday, I switched my flight to Wednesday evening. I was gonna fly out of an airport there. By Tuesday, they're saying this is looking bad. By Wednesday, they announced they were shutting down schools in the area. They were shutting down businesses because it looked like this hurricane was coming to that area. So Wednesday, I get to the airport and I was on the last flight out on Wednesday night. There's tension in the air. Of course, our first and foremost care and concern are for the people affected by the storm, residents of Florida and along the coast. But at the same time, I was hoping to be able to get home and not be there for the storm. So Wednesday night, last flight out, everyone's tense because flights are getting canceled and delayed. And then before we get on the plane, they announced that the airport we were at was shutting down Thursday and Friday because of the storm. So it's like, if you don't get out now, you're not getting out for we don't know how long. And then to make matters worse, that's when the weather started to turn and the wind starts blowing and the rain starts falling. There's thunder, there's lightning. Everybody is on edge at this airport. So I get into the plane. I was grateful because our flight wasn't delayed and we're sitting there and sitting at the gate and the plane hasn't moved. And we sat there for about 2 hours. It kept getting delayed because of weather. And after about 2 hours of sitting there, the plane starts to move. And I don't know anybody on the plane, but they're saying, I'm so glad that we're able to take off. And so as we're taking off, we're in that space where the plane is up pretty high, but you still have a little bit of cell phone service. Like you could send a text if you needed to. And I've got my AirPods in. I'm listening to calm worship music. Got my seatbelt buckled up because it was feeling kind of tense. Then all of a sudden I heard a noise that I have never heard on an airplane before. Hear this high pitch volume alarm going off in like surround sound. It was startling. So I take out my AirPods and I realize that every single person on the plane has a phone notification that pushed through because it was a national weather alert that they're evacuating the area that we're in. people's Apple Watches. It was so loud, whether it was on airplane mode or not, it got pushed through. So everyone's extra startled now, and then we ended up going up a little bit higher, so the beeping stopped because we're out of cell phone service. So I'm trying to remain calm, got my worship music in, reminding myself all I can do is have self-control. This is out of my control. And as we got a little bit higher, we started to experience just crazy turbulence. The most turbulence I've ever experienced. The plane is shaking. At one point, it drops in altitude so much, like my stomach dropped like I was on a roller coaster. At that point, people are responding in all kinds of ways. People are grabbing the hands of a stranger next to them. Some people are praying out loud. Lots of people swearing out loud. It was getting wild on this plane. And I'm thinking, there's nothing I really can do except for be a good passenger. I'm buckled up, listening to worship music, and I just found myself starting to pray for the pilot. I don't know why, I just started praying for the pilot, and I was just praying, God, give the pilot wisdom. God, thank you that you've prepared him for this, that he has been trained for this, and he knows how to navigate this plane through turbulence and through a storm. And as I began to pray for the pilot, I began to trust the pilot, which calmed my fears because I realized he knows what he's doing. And I thought, how ridiculous would it have been if I would have been freaking out, full of fear and control, and unbuckled, walked to the front of the plane and said, hey, pilot, move over. I've got it. Y'all, I can barely drive my car. Can't even imagine a plane. And when I got home and I was safe, and the next day I was just reflecting on the whole experience, the turbulence, the pilot, all the things, just felt God remind me that, Lisa, in this world, you are meant to be a good passenger and you are meant to trust the pilot, our Heavenly Father. That as we're going through this life, we will experience turbulence, and it might be shocking to us, it's not shocking to him. We might be in an environment where it's so stormy and it's cloudy and we can't see a way forward, but the pilot knows how to navigate and get you where you need to go. You might feel the weight and be thinking, I don't know what to do with this. I'm not equipped to carry this, but the pilot is equipped. And he's the one who lifts your burdens. He knows where he's going. He knows what he's doing. You are safe in his hands. We gotta be surrendered. Why are we trying to play the role of the pilot? Let the pilot be the pilot. He's equipped, he's qualified, he knows. And he just wants your surrender. And in Luke 22, we read that when Jesus was overwhelmed, it says that Jesus knelt down. And he prayed to his Heavenly Father, not my will, but your will be done. And I was reading about the posture of kneeling and even detached from anything spiritual. Like, we're supposed to have the spiritual posture of kneeling, but when we take the physical posture of kneeling, scientific studies tell us that when we kneel, the very act of kneeling begins to reduce our blood pressure and regulate our breathing. That the very posture of kneeling, because of the way that your back has to arch, it begins to lift the tension that you've been carrying in your back from all the problems that you've been facing. And I thought, what a beautiful picture that as we kneel in the physical, we experience calmness, we experience regulated breathing, we experience the tensions lifting. When we kneel and we surrender before God in the spiritual posture, he's gonna calm your nerves. He's gonna give you peace. He's gonna give you insight into the things that you can never figure out on your own. He's gonna lift the burdens that you've been carrying. But we have to choose, what posture are we gonna take? Passenger or pilot? We have to choose what posture we're gonna take. Surrendered or control? And God can do more through your surrender than he can through your control. And as we end, I know that the world is busy and noisy, and so I want us just to take a second where we can quietly reflect and respond. I want to ask this question to you that I've been asking to myself. What are you trying to control that God wants you to surrender? What are you trying to control that God wants you to surrender? You can go ahead, you can just bow your head, just close your eyes and just reflect on that. What are you trying to control? Because God wants you to surrender.
I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Heavenly Father, in this moment, we thank you that the Holy Spirit is ministering and revealing truth. And God, for the individual who's felt like I have to figure out my future on my own, thank you today that they surrender and they trust that you can do more through their surrender than you can through their control. To the individual that's feeling led to surrender in the area of finances, that's been giving them the illusion of control, I pray you would give them the boldness and the courage to do what you're asking them to do. God, for the individual who's saying, I surrender to you in this relationship, God, I thank you that you're going before them and you're removing the obstacles. God, I thank you for the parent who loves their kids so much that they want to control every single detail, but in this moment you're saying surrender, surrender, surrender. That you love their child even more than they do, and they can trust you with them. God, I thank you for the individuals trying to figure out their future, that today they say, I trust that future to you, and you've gone before them and you're opening doors that they could never open on their own. Preparing the right people for them to meet at the right time, that your name would be glorified through it. God, the heaviness that some people have been carrying because they can't forgive themselves, I pray they would surrender that heaviness to you today. God, you have forgiven them, I pray they would forgive themselves. God, the individual that's felt so covered with anxiety, pray that you would lift it off of them in the name of Jesus. And that as they surrender, they would experience your peace that passes understanding. God, we surrender to you today. And as we surrender, God, we receive every good thing that you have for us. And even if we can't see it yet, we trust that you're going before us, preparing the path, removing the obstacles. Our job is to trust you and be a good passenger because we are safe in the hands of our pilot. Love you, God. Maybe you're with us today and we're talking about surrender, but you've never made Jesus the leader and forgiver of your life. And today I want to give you an opportunity to do that. You're not joining a church. It's not about religion. It's just saying, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, and that I want to have heaven forever as my home one day with them. He gives me a fresh start. So with every head bowed and eye closed, if today you say, I want to follow Jesus, I want to surrender my life to him, would you go ahead, slip up your hand, no one else looking except for me. Amazing, hands going up all over the place. You can go ahead and put your hands down. And if everybody would repeat this prayer so no one's saying it alone. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus, that he died for me, forgives my sins, and gives me a fresh start. Today I choose to follow you. And in your name, amen.
that decision to make Jesus the leader to forgive your life, congratulations. Yeah. It is the best decision you ever make. What a powerful message from Pastor Lisa there, just talking about surrender. You know, and if you made that decision, you're going, man, okay, maybe it's time for me to surrender my life to Jesus. And so we want to say congratulations. Yeah, and maybe you're going, hey, what's next? What do I do? Well, we're glad you asked. There's a couple of things that I give you instruction. Number one is this, let somebody know.
Yes.
Tell somebody, whether you have a friend or a family member. Yeah. If you're going, hey, honestly, there's no one here around me that I can tell, then drop it in the chat. Let us know. We have teams that want to come alongside you and help you begin to navigate this journey of faith. The second thing is this, grab this resource. You're going to see a QR code on your screen. It's simply called New Beginning. And it just answers some of those questions like, what now? What do I do? How do I read the Bible? Where do I read in the Bible? How do I pray? What does it mean to pray? All those different things like that, that are just basic answers, are going to help you start this relationship with Jesus. And so McKenna's going to share with you something else that you can do as well to help you grow.
Yeah, well, one of the next steps you can take here at City First is to join Growth Track. Whether you've been on this faith journey for a long time or if you've just started, it's for everybody.
Yeah.
What it is it's a three-week program designed to help you discover who you are and the gifts that God's given you. And it also, it helps you find a dream team that you would want to serve on, something that you'd be passionate about.
Yeah.
And so it's a really cool opportunity to grow in your faith. So if you're wanting to take that next step, we encourage you to check out our website, sign up. It is the best thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we know we've talked about the app a little bit, and it's just a great place to connect.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure you're doing that. We know that right now life can be interesting, it can be fun, it can be a blast. There's also moments where you're going, I just need somebody. I need somebody to encourage me, to talk to be able to go, hey, can you pray with me? The app is a great place to do that, to drop in a prayer request. We have teams that are looking at that and praying all week long. And so we'd love for you to do that. And then secondly, there is a reading plan. There's a reading plan on there that you can jump on.
Yeah,
it's a daily
so
reading plan for the Word of God. You can just go in there and jump in there and be able to have something that you're going to look at every single day as you're reading and stuff like that. And so we'd encourage you to do that as well as you jump in there. And it's just a great, easy way to get started and connected that
way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Yeah.
Best thing you can do is come back next week to church,
mm-hmm.
bring a friend, send this link to somebody who needed this message. But we are starting a brand new series next week. It's called We the Kingdom.
We're
believing it's going to be really powerful. So you guys want to make sure you check that out next week. Well, have a great week. We love y'all, and we'll see you guys later. Peace out.